News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. A lot of things going on. Donald Trump is, well, going to be turkeying it tomorrow, and he's already down in Florida. The turkeys were saved. Pea and carrot. Something that the president always does before Thanksgiving. Kind of an interesting story. We'll probably play that clip of the president making his pronouncement and preventing the execution, the sure execution of pea and carrot. Anyway, got a lot of things going on, and a happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and travel safe. Today's one of the big traveling days of the year, obviously. More people expected to be on the road this year than ever before. It's like every year it just gets to be more and more and more people going. Anyway, we're covering a lot of things, and of course the biggest thing that's happening right now is the rock and roll, if you will, the rocking and rolling over of the radical environmentalist. That seems to be sort of the mantra. I think Saturday when the president was up here in Northern California and even Southern California, the pronouncement that radical environmentalism is dead. Yeah, it's in its death throes. Yeah, because basically we've had enough. I think everybody in California certainly had enough of radical environmentalism. You know, it's, when you talk about fire and water in particular, and of course even nationally, the Agenda 21 issue is on the rocks. And with us right now is Chris Street. Chris has written an article about the death of, I think you would say, radical environmentalism. Chris, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio again.
Well, always great to be here, Paul.
So, Brian Zinke comes out, he's the front man, comes out to the campfire and is absolutely blown away. My sources have told me he was shocked to see what had happened. And then that was followed up by the trip by Donald Trump on Saturday. And it was kind of interesting the way this whole thing has come around in that, Who's Your Daddy plays out right in front of everybody on the cameras with Donald Trump walking with Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown and the mayor of of Paradise, California. And it seemed kind of odd because Daddy was in town checking on the children. And there you had those three that were kind of like stunned. The Jerry Brown mantra of radical environmentalism in the so-called business of it's always climate change that causes fires is sort of out the window now, don't you think?
Well, I think it's about money, Paul. I think people get confused on this, that somehow liberals are, you know, humanitarians. You know, there may be an element of liberals that are humanitarians, but they're smart enough to know that big corporate interest love government, and what they love about government is the big corporate money that, of course, is doled out to their friends.
Yeah, and of course, the big corporate money is the big money from Uncle Sam, actually, for these corporate fires. I think you might want to call them corporate. I wouldn't call them corporate fires, but, you know, fires that are caused by climate change, of course.
Right, that's right, Paul. We have a situation here where, you know, the left saw the Clintons is coming, another Clinton coming in here, and would finally put the cherry on top of the, I guess you'd call the milkshake of big corporate and federal money coming together, because Clinton in 1994 passed what was, or should adopted what was called the Northwest Forest Plan. Now, the Northwest Forest Plan covered Washington, it covered Oregon, but it also covered Northern California, 4.5 million acres of it. And it prioritized protecting endangered species, water quality, and what's called old growth forest. Now, what it really did is it made tremendous amounts of burden to get permits, and the rules increased the cost of timber logging, and, of course, made sure that loggers could only take small and usually uneconomical tree sizes, and basically put out half of the loggers and timber industry in California. Now, this is a wonderful game because it was matched by big cash coming in to deal with this quote-unquote crisis. So, you know, to the state of California, you know, 100,000 loggers getting laid off isn't as important in the tax loss as the kind of check you can get from Washington, D.C., because that goes right in Sacramento, and that is what becomes what's called discretionary spending, i.e. we can spend it on our friends or our own little projects and perhaps build our own little empires.
Which basically, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was living up there in the forested region in the 90s and 2000s, and I was watching this whole thing play out and watching and listening to people that were dependent upon the forest, and these people were being decimated economically. People had to leave the area, you know, give up their home, their lifestyles, and everything like that. Being displaced, loggers or people who worked in the forest. One of the businesses that was really big, in fact, we have a couple people in New California up in this area, up in our area, that their main business was to clear the forest of any excessive logs and shrubs and things like that. And the money had just literally dried up. In fact, one of them, this last year, had to give up all of his trucks because there was just no money in it. Forest management.
Well, originally the forest, when the quote unquote white man showed up, well, there was always really
right,
white
right
here. And this whole thing is such a fraud to start with. Historians have showed that there were Polynesians in South America and North America prior to the people coming across the land bridge, which we now call Indians, came across the land bridge and came down to the south. And the first thing those people did that came across the land bridge is kill every single Polynesian in their way and basically wiped them all out. But, you know, they had to deal with this. And I believe during the Indian times, every year the Indians would burn off the local brush for two reasons. One, they wanted to, you know, have more game. And secondly, they wanted to make sure that there were open spaces because they knew that California forests burn every year. So in the spring, they'd start small control fires. And if you saw the pine trees in those days, there were clumps of pine trees in mostly open areas. And every once in a while, you'd see some, you know, scattered oak trees. But the pine trees the bottom 20 foot of a palm tree, the branches were burned off because that was a high danger situation to Indians, you know, who didn't have cars to run away.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that this was something I was talking to my audience before this, because, you know, I live in this area that was burned pretty much, or not too far from it. But ranchers up here will tell you that the Indians actually taught their forefathers around here how to burn off the forest, like you're just talking about. And this comes from, well, we have numerous ranchers and people involved in New California, and they all say the same thing, that their family members, when they first came to settle this part of Northern California, learned it from the Indians, how to manage the forest.
Yeah, something about wanting to stay alive probably was a big distraction to the Indians.
Sure. Something like that. You know, of course, when you went into those areas that were managed very well, it's exactly what you're talking about. You look at the height of where the pine needles are, they're 20, 30 feet up, you know, and the forest floor is always clean. And you can still find areas like that around here. It's the national forest and it's the state forest that are not managed that way. And, of course, you bring out the great point. It was the Clinton administration. And then, of course, now the Brown administration has picked up on that. We got a break. We're coming back to with Chris Street here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com. And also, we're taking donations now for both the Woolsey and also the campfire. So go to the GoFundMe, New California State Foundation. We'll be back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-319-2547 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-319-2547. Again, that's 800-319-2547.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio, and with us is Chris Street. And first of all, let's kind of do some business here. You can donate to the Campfire Victims. There's two ways on Agenda 21 Radio. You can go to the little icon up above where it says New California and Donate, and it says Campfire Donate. And when you go there and click on it, there's a whole series of options of all these different charitable organizations that are right there in Chico. The money will go directly to the Campfire Victims. And also you can donate by way and do a twofer here, because we've got the Northern Command and the Southern Command for New California relief for the Camp and Woolsey fire victims. And if you go to newcaliforniastate.com and go to the GoFundMe, the New California State Foundation is accepting donations. 100% of the donations will go to the relief directly to these people. And we know how to do that, because this last Saturday, Friday and Saturday, New California State set up an encampment, if you will, up there in Chico, California, and passed out well over $12,000 worth of cash and donations that were made. We had $3,000 worth of cash donations that were given to New California that we redistributed immediately to the, you know, we did this through the card business. It was, the cards were purchased, and we gave them, a lot of people needed gas cards, because people, they left their homes in such a hurry. Some of them managed to get out with their cars. Many of them did not get out with their cars. Also, we passed out tons of blankets, because, again, Jerry Brown, in his infinite wisdom, has not provided anything for these victims. Again, this is all part of Jerry Brown's little way to treat Californians. Now, obviously, if you go down to and check out how much money he spent on illegal foreign nationals, it's just a mere pittance. In fact, they spent another $15 million on legal fees for these guys. He sent that down there just a couple days ago. So nothing for anybody in the Woolsey fire, and nothing for anybody in the campfire coming from Jerry Brown. And he had the National Guard available, and he didn't use them to help these people, thousands of people. And New California responded. And so many thanks to everybody who showed up on Friday and Saturday. We had several counties that were involved in this relief effort. We had Sacramento County, Amador County, Contra Costa County, Yuba County, Butte County, Sutter County, Shasta County. I mean, I can go on and on. We had just a ton of counties that contributed, and a lot of people there. And we did provide a substantial amount of relief to what was going on. So many thanks to everybody there. So you can donate to the New California State Foundation, and all that money will go 100% to these to the relief of both the Woolsey and Campfire. And the Woolsey fire, listen, we cannot neglect the Southern Command down there. The people might be thinking, well, because there's a lot more of a community down there as opposed to up here in Northern California. And yes, it's a staggering number of people that could still be affected. The loss is enormous. Could be as many as 3,000 victims. But we cannot neglect what's going on down there. They're just as hurting as ever before. And, of course, remember that the shooting at the Borderline Bar and Grill is in that same area. Kind of coincidental, I guess. Anyway, with us is Chris Street, and Chris, we're talking about the article about, I termed it the death of disaster capitalism, because perhaps this is what we're seeing here in California. Will, in fact, this be the death of disaster capitalism? Your thoughts?
Well, this was, you know, a part of an overall effort that I said started with the Clintons in 1994, just had its own sense of rules. When you give somebody with a lot of power the ability to set rules and destroy businesses, what's left in the wake of the destroyed business is a tremendous real estate opportunity for government to manage. And that's really what happened. Once the private interest pulled out of the forest because it wasn't viable to, you know, build logging roads, you know, the thing needed to be quote-unquote managed. And through that management, more money came pouring into Sacramento. You know, as you saw, there's no money for victims in the forest. There's lots of money for spotted owls. So this all came to a head during the Bush administration. And in 2004, the Bush administration tried to reverse the Clinton policies, and environmentalists were able to litigate them to a standstill. And when Obama came back in, he really doubled down on those rules, and he gave cover for Brown to implement what was called the California Forest Practice Rules of 2015. And these basically made it almost impossible to log, because you had what were called, dragging areas, where logs were dragged.
Right.
You know, needless to say, I've got to drag in, and those dragging areas don't look real attractive to environmentalists. They're probably more attractive to spotted owls that don't want to get burned up, because they create another set of fire breaks. So you restricted any kind of logging to 100 feet from a officially maintained logging road, which there aren't very many officially maintained logging roads, and you these drag areas were basically banned. And so once now you're in a situation where you've got forests that are extremely dense, the distance between trees is extremely dense, and more important, there's a tremendous amount of combustible brush on the floor, and the combination of this creates hotter, bigger, and of course, wildly more expensive fires.
Well, you know, one of the things that you bring up is about these drag areas. And so for the audience who doesn't know what a drag area is, and you got to be a choker setter. I mean, you got there's all kinds of unique terms that go into the logging industry. But a drag area is where you actually drag logs on the ground, because that's the most efficient way to get them to a area in which you can actually hook them up and put them on the trucks. And, of course, this is after the tree is felled, and then, of course, all the slash is taken off the tree, and then the tree is transported to wherever it's going to be, where they're going to pick them up. And that's known as a drag area. So these roads that are out there, that were out there, and the government actually shut down, they actually, and I was making this point earlier, Chris, is that they actually blocked them off with big boulders and everything all throughout the forest. And, of course, it reforested, like you said. And it, you know, just added to the nightmare that was going on in the forest.
So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Jerry Brown had a gun in his hand and shot those people. I mean, this is absolutely irresponsible, dangerous, and virtually criminal to do this kind of action, knowing that people are in the area. And you know, We're only partially through the fire season. You know, this thing runs from July 1st for the fiscal year to June 30th. So we could still have, you know, plenty of fires. More importantly, we're now going to have an El Nino. You know, El Ninos are very, very wet in California. So you're going to see massive amounts of flooding. And of course, that's just going to be even more dangerous for the people. So we are in the early steps of this, Paul. There's a budget of $442 million, and Brown blew through that what's called the emergency. It's a budget for all the emergencies in the state. Brown blew through a quarter of that budget in the month of July. He hasn't updated what the budget is, but it's got to be massively, in negative territory right now, to the tune of about $1 billion.
Let me kind of perseverate on this a little bit, because this is money in California. In California government is a scarce commodity, as we already know, and of course the sinking stock market is going to be adding to that. But this whole situation that's going on with the e-budget. The interesting thing was, I don't know if you saw the article that was out there in the Sacramento Bee the other day. They gave a sterling review of the budget. And they were talking about how great it was that we have all this reserve money, and what's Gavin Newsom going to do with this reserve money? And it was laughable, Chris. It was laughable. Your thoughts on that? I don't know if you saw that or not, but
I did. Sometimes you have to read this, and it's impossible to to not just click it away. That's one advantage of the
internet.
The internet is you can just say click.
That's exactly what I did when I saw that.
You don't actually have to dispose of the Sacramento Bee when they say the things that are just absolutely nuts. But California is a casino that basically has been betting on the 7 to come up every time and has done a pretty good job over the last 6 years of getting a run. Now, this would have all gone to, you know, Hades in a handbag had it not been for their nemesis, Donald Trump, who gave the stock market a huge bump starting in late 2015 with the idea that you're actually going to not become a, you know, social justice workers' paradise. You were going to get back to business. And, of course, that money that came in allowed California to do more and more spending, kept Silicon Valley going for another 18 months, and just put the risk of the budget, you know, its reliance on tens of millions of dollars of capital gains, even more reliant. And now you're having the first sort of hiccup. And as I said, that hiccup is A, Silicon Valley cash is going away just at the same time that all of your policies are starting to create enormous amounts of negative responses. You know, the fires, this is early in the fire season. We've got plenty of time to have some more hell. And they've got to be at least $1 billion over budget. And that's what Jerry Brown last week running around talking about the new normal. You heard about this, right, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the new normal. We are in the new normal. Well, actually, if you take a look at organizations that actually deal with, quote-unquote, the normal, you know, like insurance organizations that model their risk, there's an organization called RMS, and it puts out, you know, catastrophe projections all over the world. So it doesn't matter if there's a fire in Spain, there's a fire in Indonesia, there's a fire in California. RMS has a model for it. And RMS isn't really finding much in the way of differences in fires. You know, maybe it's a little warmer and maybe it's a, you know, there's some kind of weather issue out there. But that's not what they're seeing. The big issue that they're seeing, Paul, is since the late 1990s and 2000 specifically, the way we deal with fire has changed dramatically. Instead of cleaning up, you know, the forest floor, we've had so many big fires and bigger fires following bigger fires and bigger and bigger fires following bigger fires that we're chasing our tail and spending the money on firefighting, which, you know, which has left virtually no money in the budget to maintain the forest.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that there was a bill that was passed unanimously by the Assembly and by the Senate. Well, you never get that in California. And it was a bill that was designed to, you know, improve the forests and get rid of this problem, you know, of overforestation. And Jerry Brown vetoed it. This is just this year. What's up with that? I mean, Chris, you know, everybody knows full well, including these assembly members and senators in California, that's the right thing to do. It's the right way to prevent forest fires. And even they were indicating that we got to stop this stuff.
Well, if you take a look at what's called the Independence Institute, which is out of Oakland, they'll tell you that it's the way we change managing the forest. But really the issue was that we haven't put enough money in the forest floor. So if we only allocate $100 billion, we can resolve this issue. I mean, giving government more money means that they will continue to do what they're doing already, only they'll double down on it. There is no effort and no conversation in Sacramento to reopen logging, to thin the forest, to make, you know, logging roads, the fire breaks that they were. None of this is on the table. The answer is you need to spend $100 billion to have some, you know, environmentally friendly people go in there and basically take out low-hanging shrubs. And somehow that's going to improve the forest. Paul, this is not about low-hanging shrubs, although that's just more combustion. This is about the spacing of the trees and the density of the forest. And that's the issue. You've got an atomic bomb up there, and every once in a while it's going to go off.
And it certainly did. I'll tell you, the high heat intensity that we have witnessed, and I've been up there several times now. I'm going to make another trip today to the Paradise Fire area. It is absolutely devastating, and it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. I mean, clearly, Chris, it looks like a nuclear, you know, there's pictures of Hiroshima, but to stand there among the ash and see these structures that are no longer in existence, like they've all been vaporized.
Well, that's course, right, Paul. You get this effect in fire that the bigger the fire, the hotter it gets, and the hotter it gets even bigger. It sucks in more oxygen. The bigger the fire, the more it sucks in oxygen. So the speed of these fires in this dense forest is just amazing. It was traveling at a football field a second.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've got a Ferrari. You're not outrunning a football field a second fire.
Yeah. And it's just, I'll tell you, the structures, there's nothing left of them. I mean, you know, occasionally, I did see at one house that was burned, a header. You know, a header that goes over a door, and it was cindered. I mean, it was just literally was carbonized. It was a glue lamb. You know, you see the glue lambs, and it was absolutely just incinerated, just sitting there. You could actually touch it, and it would crumble. So there was nothing. No, nothing. It was just amazing to see this. And again, when you're talking about a football field per second. You know, I was talking to someone.
That's a heck of a halfback, right?
Yeah, really. I was talking to one of the fire victims who did get out. She managed to get out, and she was talking about telling. She called me and she said, "You know, what do I do?" I said, "Get out, get out, get out," and she did.
All three answers: yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, and more yes. Get out, and she did. But this thing moved very, very quickly, and there was no getting out. Even for some people, we're talking about. One person I was listening to on an interview, he said that he had managed to get his dogs into his car, and he knew that if he reached and got his hard drive, that he'd die, and so he left. And he said he's lucky he did. He says he's lucky all of his life work was given up, but he said I would have died right there with my dogs.
Which he enjoyed your life. Yeah, he enjoyed his life work inside a car, melting.
Right. And that's just split second decisions by people, but we still have more victims that they're still finding up there, and it's kind of interesting. Most of the victims are ash. There's not too many bones, not too many anything. I was up there watching and examining the coroners, the forensic teams that they have, men and women in white suits, and they're going around from house to house looking for bodies, and fortunately they found several bodies in one structure. In their examination and stuff, but there's nothing there. There's no body bags, or they're taking them out in bags, small bags, which is really even more disconcerting to think that somebody could die in their house that way. And also in cars, the cars that are on the side of the roads.
These people died a slow and miserable death, Paul.
I know, and there's one person. I blame Jerry Brown. I blame the policies that are here. I think that since the Clinton era, and I've seen it in the forest myself because I lived up there for a while. I saw what they were doing and how everything was accumulating. And, I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people that are in New California because New California, this is New California. All of New California is burning. This is what I try and tell people, that they're burning us out. Well, they're not going to burn us out. We're not going to leave. And as we say in New California, stand your ground. We're not going to run away anymore. Such as what they want us to do. So, anyway, I guess the big question is what's going to happen now with the Trump administration vis-a-vis Brown and Newsom?
Well, that's my article. It'd be running in American Thinker today, Paul. But to put it in real numbers, the state of California is at least a billion over budget. The federal government's budget has grown dramatically. I think that it's up 49% over last year, and 94% up, up 94% more from fiscal 2009. This is about the Obama folks coming in and taking what was in place and making it much, much worse. And now you're dealing with the afterthought of it. The federal government will spend $1.1 billion. in variance. Don't you love that term, Paul? Variance. Yeah. Basically overspending this year from its emergency budget, mostly because of California fires. This isn't a national problem. There have been some big fires in Montana and Colorado. But the worst of this, three-quarters of this cost is coming from California, and it's coming from California every year. Now, last year was an all-time record cost for insured lot for losses in California at $13 billion. The Woolsey and current fires are going to cost at least $13 billion, and all fires for 2018 look like they're headed for $20 billion. These are bubuzz, Paul. These aren't, you know, dollars, thousands, hundreds, thousands. These are million dollars. That's $20 million dollars.
You mean a billion?
No, I'm sorry, billion.
Yeah.
I lost my bubba.
Somewhere you lost the bubba.
These are $20,000 million. So you got how are you going to lay a $1 million stack? You got 20,000 of them. And that's what we're really dealing with. There's a tremendous resource called the U.S. Weather Service Footprint Map that actually will show you every fire that burned in California, its footprint since 1910. It's all the same areas. The difference is that, you know, they used to be isolated little fires that burn, you know, every so many years, and they would be sort of reasonable-sized fires, and they'd put them out over time. Now they're just massive conflagrations that take lots of time to put out, you know, go for months and burn spectacular areas.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map right now because it's in your article. It's embedded.
Isn't it fantastic?
That's an amazing map.
Yeah.
Amazing map. And it's kind of interesting. Some of that northern tier up there doesn't get burned very much. You don't hear about fires up there and, you know, the... the Humboldt. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Check that.
There they go.
The population came up. I said, wow, that's pretty clean. But this is a fascinating map to look at. And you can actually see right there where all the fires have occurred. And I guess there's a legend that goes along with this of some sort. Is that right? Yeah, there is.
There's a legend to show you what. You know, I don't think of legend as that important. What's important is you can just see these fires overlaying, how it overlays, and the same areas go back and forth. What's really important to figure out here, Paul, is that, you know, you don't get away with destroying insurance companies and destroying utilities, because that's who you're blaming this on.
Yeah, hang on.
Not blaming on the culprit. You know, Jerry Brown isn't wearing a mask. Yeah. And doing this, he's doing this in plain sight.
Exactly. But hang on, Chris, we got the music coming up. We're right back. Listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Hiding in Plain Sight, Jerry Brown. We're going to bring that one back up.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's 2 MyPillow premiums for 1 low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented my pillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-362-3023 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-362-3023 to take your call now. Call 800-362-3023. That's 800-362-3023. Again, 800-362-3023.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street. We're talking about, you were saying that Jerry Brown's been hiding in plain sight, starting all these fires or allowing these fires. Not really, he's not starting the fires, of course, but policies might be leading in that direction. Is he going to be held accountable, you think?
Well, I think Jerry Brown always manages to get out of Dodge just before the walls come down. You know, he couldn't have been elected when he left office in 1970s as polecat. You know, this guy was known to the population. He managed to come back through, you know, being mayor of Oakland. That I got to say must have been a challenge.
You know, and yeah, right.
And he came back and ran for governor. Jerry Brown is the least insane, probably, of the people in Sacramento. I mean, there's big nut cases way past Jerry Brown. And, you know, you've got one in there right now. I mean, Newsom is not a guy who has a strong sense of purpose. You know, he's a real nice get-along kind of guy. And he's going to be up there in Sacramento. And his job is to say yes. So the problem they're going to have is they are burning up all of the money. You know, Wall Street, you just had a Democrat House elected. And like Trump said, hey, you elect Democrats to the House, the stock market's going to go down. Seems that's kind of what's happening, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So voting has consequences. You know, you have policies and you elect these people in Sacramento and you give them, you know, you make them sort of an aristocracy and they have a monopoly and you own things like the Woolsey fire. I mean, when do people understand that, you know, the same cast of characters aren't going to change? And that's what New California is. What you're describing, the idea, the preposterous nature that they wouldn't have blankets for thousands of people who are run out. I mean, who are these people? Yeah, who are these leaders that folks are voting for? Obviously, the Republican Party going away. Who are those people? Why did they let this happen? Why didn't they stand firm for policies that people could support? I understand that corporate money wanted immigration. I understand that corporate money thinks that's wage breaking. But at some point, you don't have values. People don't need you. If I want to, you know, have somebody to spend money more efficiently, I'd hire a Democrat, right? They're great at spending money.
Boy, howdy. They're absolutely great at spending money. So I guess the question is, I put this to you all the time, so it's like our life support checkup here about New California and what's going on with the California budget. And the stock market has been hammered, and in particular where it's really getting hammered is what you predicted would be hammered, and those are the tech stocks, the FANG stocks. And, of course, that has some very serious consequences for California going forward, because that's where California gets a lot of its money to run its government. So,
well, that's right, Paul. The state used to be run by what's called extraction, oil and gas, timber products, and to a lesser degree, mining. And, of course, agriculture was the sweet spot of the state, still is the most powerful agricultural operation on the planet. But as this money went away from oil and gas, and, of course, they got rid of it, it slowed down, and then they made sure they got rid of it by driving up the cost. The idea was depopulate these areas. If you take the money away, the people will leave. Well, that actually has been working. And now that you've taken away the money, you're basically burning them out. Those who are tough enough to stay have now united into New California. You've made the decision, I personally have made the decision, that, we need a new Republican Party. It has nothing to do with the people that were there before. We need responsible management, and Sacramento will never be part of that. So let's just carve off and go on our happy way. And when you get, there's probably going to be a couple thousand burned to death in this fall. What's your estimate?
Well, we are ranging anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000.
Yeah. So 2,000 is not a, I mean, remember the 3,000 is what you lost in World War II. By the bombing of the Japanese in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
3,000 is what you lost in 9/11.
Correct.
I don't see anybody screaming that this is as bad as 9/11. It is.
This is bad. I mean, the incineration vat, I can tell you, because I've been up there several times now, it's pretty earth-shaking to see what's going on with these people walking around the white suits, trying to find bodies from house to house to house and car to car to car. But the utter devastation, the ash, everything's ash. It's from, steel, metal, melted. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what we're seeing up there. I've walked fires before. I've been involved in fires before. I've never seen anything like this, Chris. I've never seen this degree, temperature-wise and otherwise, this degree of burn. At all,
and the conditions were bad. Let's face it. You have your Santa Ana winds in Southern California. You have your Diablo winds in Northern California. That these are 40, 50 mile an hour gusts. Those aren't the worst you can have.
No,
you could have had a much worse situation, and with a very bad situation, not horrible, bad situation, you caused this kind of conflagration. It's not unusual in California to have sometimes gusts as high as 80 or 90 miles an hour. We didn't have that this time. Of course, they had that in Santa Barbara last time, and you saw what happened there.
You mean Santa Rosa?
Well, Santa Barbara a year ago in Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Those were top tick wind patterns. If you're a limousine liberal living in the city, you've got to realize this is coming to your door. This is the worst air pollution in the history of California right now. Don't talk to me about the 1970s, say in Los Angeles. Be in San Francisco walking around right now. This, think how that's going to be good for your health.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the smoke has actually reached the East Coast from what we're hearing now.
Right. California, we're like China, right? China used to get to California and they'd all go nuts. I mean, this is much thicker getting to New York City. Now, remember that the you're having these fires are so intense, they're actually changing the climate. You're getting a form of global cooling. Don't you love it?
Yeah.
And so you know, I guess Jerry Brown's answer to climate change is let's have global cooling. We'll just burn down the forest and that'll cool down the planet.
Well, oddly enough, back in the day, it was global cooling in the 1970s that ultimately led to Jerry Brown being elected governor in 1976. So from 76 to 84, he was governor. And then they changed the law to allow him basically to be governor for a third and fourth term with the term limits law in 1990. And he became the governor again, letting the adult back in the room, as people were saying, when he became governor. Because there were so many young kids, basically, in Sacramento. I went through that and saw how that was playing out. And I thought to myself, they're going to let Jerry Brown be the adult in the room? I thought, but that's the way that was the perception people had in Sacramento, that he was the adult-like figure who could bring all order back from the chaos of term limits, the chaos of lack of, I guess you would say, institutional memory that was caused by term limits.
So we should all take our thumb and pinky and put it together and go, oh, wah, wah.
Yeah, break out the boa constrictors.
you're right. And it was global cooling because, you know, CO2 was blanketing the earth and creating diving temperatures. And we were going to have famine because of lack of harvest and such like that. That didn't work out. Their models all failed. So amazingly, the same people who were involved in that environmental disaster sort of flipped the script and, you know, came up with a new environmental disaster that essentially had the same answer. You need to give control of government and taxes to us because we can't trust you anymore.
Right.
We can't trust the people in agriculture. We can't trust the people in timber. We can't trust the people in oil and gas. You see how this game is played, Paul? This is the taking effort of government, and somehow that if you give it to them, they'll do a better job of it. I would call this, you know, the 9/11 moment, and people better realize that this is pregame from even worse.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. And you start looking at the history of the Agenda 21 plan and all that other good stuff, and you see how this is all starting to play out or has been playing out over time. Even to where Nancy Pelosi was the one who first introduced the resolution, House bill, or resolution, I guess, for sustainability in 1992, October of 1992, which was just 1 month from the election of Bill Clinton, kind of oddly enough, which led to a lot of these policies being changed and modified all throughout the country. And then now we have Jerry Brown in 2018. So this has been a long run for these guys, Chris. And hopefully with this, with what we've seen here with President Trump and Ryan Zinke stepping up and basically calling it what it is, we could see the death of environmentalism.
I think we're coming that way. These people aren't going to go quietly, Paul. It's going to take time. So I think we are just in the run-up stage. This one's a big slap in the face. They'll recover from it, but there's nothing in structure to deal with this being even worse next year.
No, I know. Well, listen, Chris, we got to run for time, and tell us how we can get a hold of you.
You can always see me on Breitbart, and of course, I'm an American Thinker, which is the top conservative publication, about every other day. So it's great to be with you, Paul, and you know, New California, I'm with you all the way.
Awesome. Chris Street with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. We've got a pretty good rundown of what's been going on here in the campfire and everything else, and of course, the Ryan Zinke, Donald Trump connection. And remember that Chris has been an advisor to people who advise the president, and leave it at that. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. You can donate to the campfire victims there, and also you can go to newcaliforniastate.com, and you can go to New California State Foundation and donate to the campfire victims. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and stay strong, America.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life.
Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.